You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Here we are, June 16th, 2020. We have a lot on our plate today. I'm hesitating because I'm trying to decide which way do I want to go. This is one of those times where I just take everything I have, throw it up in the air, and whatever hits the desk first, that's the one we'll talk about. I tell you what, let's just do this. Let's begin with positive news. Some positive news. Retail sales jumping higher in May as our nation began to reopen and consumers returned to stores. The coronavirus lockdowns lifted across the U.S. Make note of this. Retail sales surging 17.7% compared with the prior month. They were expecting an increase as we open up the country, but you know what they were expecting? 8%. This is more than double. That's a phenomenal number, and it is an indicator of what yet is to happen. Now, if we have another outbreak of COVID-19, to the extent that we have numerous deaths, not just folks being sick or testing positive, you can see that maybe there might be, again, a pullback. But maybe we've learned long enough now that we don't have to shut everything down. We can get the schools back in play. We can have businesses start doing what they were trying to do. The sad part is it's going to come too late for some. They've lost too much money, they cannot reopen, and their business goes under. 100,000 plus, and many of those small businesses, no doubt that most of them are probably minority owned. They're going to be hit the hardest. But again, at this point, we also saw that businesses added 2.5 million jobs, unemployment rates declining from that record high we saw back in April. If you take out cars and gas station purchases, retail sales were up 12%. All this indicating a pent-up demand, folks wanting to get out and spend some money. Sales at sporting goods stores, hobby shops, musical instrument stores, bookstores, jumping 88%. Sales at restaurant and bars going up almost 30%. Electronics appliance stores rising 50%. This is all good news. But we're not where we were when we had to shut everything down, so we need to push forward. We had a SCOTUS ruling yesterday regarding LGBT rights. I told you then that I'm going to side with the Supreme Court on that. There's been some backlash. In fact, that many are saying that's the wrong position, Larry. Well, right now I'm holding to it. Even Franklin Graham's son, says the Supreme Court was wrong. I'm still sticking with my opinion. We're going to go through it in more detail. And, of course, two of the justices on a 6-3 decision were appointed by President Trump. Roberts, the Chief Justice, and then also Justice Gorsuch, who wrote the majority opinion. Some are saying he's a traitor. He did not do what we expected. And yet others are saying, no, actually, he held to what he believes, and it shouldn't be that big of a surprise. We'll get into that. In the meantime, the Seattle chaos continues. A report from inside the autonomous zone or opposition protest zone, what do they now want to call it today, is that there are two stories. One that you see during the day, and then things that happen at night, as they describe a Jekyll and Hyde story. Police reform, of course, a big issue. The president's preparing to sign such a bill, an executive order on policing to build trust, he says, in the law enforcement field in the wake of the George Floyd death. Some areas, Seattle one of them, already banning any chokehold. And a question for you. Is the Black Lives Matter a political party bent on dramatically changing our nation, intimidating, threatening anyone who gets in the way? Tucker Carlson spent a lot of time on his monologue on that last night. I want to share it with you. And also sections of an interview that President Trump made with Michael Savage. We do have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. So gather around, let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in and assess the situation at a very reasonable cost and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Nobody is questioning, and he certainly did not, the legitimacy of the claims. We're not talking about extra-textual stuff. We're talking about the text. It's close. A judge finds it very close. At the end of the day, should he or she take into consideration the massive social upheaval that would be entailed in such a decision and the possibility that Congress didn't think about it, so, and that that is more appropriate a legislative rather than a judicial function? That's it. It's a question of judicial modesty.
So, first of all, federal courts of appeals have been recognizing that discrimination against transgender people is sex discrimination for 20 years. There's been no upheaval. As I was saying, there are transgender male lawyers in this courtroom following the male dress code and going to the men's room, and the court's dress code and sex-segregated restrooms have not fallen. So the notion that somehow this is going to be a huge upheaval, we haven't seen that upheaval for 20 years. There's no reason you would see that upheaval. Transgender people follow the rule that's associated with their gender identity. It's not disruptive.
The opening sound you heard from Justice Neil Gorsuch asking a question about how this might play out. And would it lead to disruptions? The answer coming from David Cole of the ACLU. Keep in mind, these arguments before the court were taking place last year, September and October, in that range. And today, yesterday, the ruling came out. And the ruling is issued by the High Court on a 6-3 decision protecting LGBTQ rights. In fact, for many, it was a slap in the face to President Trump, because Neil Gorsuch, his appointee, helped protect the LGBTQ rights. Justice Gorsuch, known to be a proponent of textualism in statutory interpretation and originalism in interpreting the U.S. Constitution. I'm not a lawyer. I don't plan, and I don't play one. But We're going to go through some particulars of this case and hear the arguments back and forth. I had some folks lined up to address it, and they had to make some last-minute changes, so we're going to plow through it together. What was at stake? There were three cases actually in front of the court. It all involved a key provision of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, known as Title VII, that bars discrimination. The question was, can it be used to protect LGBT people from discrimination in employment? Justices Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas dissented, along with another Trump appointee, Brett Kavanaugh. Justice Gorsuch, in his opinion for the court, said, an employer who fires an individual for being homosexual or transgender fires that person for traits or actions it would not have questioned in members of a different sex. Sex plays a necessary and undisguisable role in the decision, exactly what Title VII forbids. The response from Justice Alito in the dissent, the court tries to convince readers that it is merely enforcing the terms of the statute, but that is preposterous. Even as understood today, the concept of discrimination because of sex is different from discrimination because of sexual orientation or gender identity. There are about an estimated 8+ million LGBT workers across the country. Most states do not protect them from any workplace discrimination. About 11 million live in the U.S., and as I said, about 8 million are employed in various states that are where they're not protected. Those figures coming from the Williams Institute at the UCLA Law School. The Trump administration was in the process of trying to change course from the Obama administration, which did support LGBT workers in their discrimination claims under Title VII. In recent years, some lower courts have held that discrimination against LGBT people is a subset of sex discrimination prohibited by federal law. Efforts by Congress to change the law have so far failed. And so here came the cases, three of them, involving two gay men and a transgender woman suing for employment after they lost their jobs. One of them involving a federal appeals court in New York of a gay skydiving instructor who claimed he was fired because of sexual orientation. LGBT advocates are quickly shouting victory, victory, victory. The response from the White House, the president said, I've read the decision, which ran to 119 pages. Some people were surprised, but they've ruled and we live with their decision. That's what this is all about. We live with the decision of the Supreme Court. Very powerful decision, actually. And the response also coming from Kellyanne Conway of the President's office saying, we've had the Civil Rights Act for 56 years. Everybody's understood what it meant. It's very important, though, to stick to it as a statute or a law as it's written. If people want to change the law, they should go to Congress. Our Congress doesn't seem to like to work as hard as the other two branches. Those who had supported Gorsuch as Trump's first Supreme Court nominee were even more vocal. They are upset to no end, claiming that he has betrayed Trump and he's cast aside the legacy of Justice Scalia. It was his vacancy that Republicans held open through 2016 so it could be filled by the next president, and as it turned out to be, Donald Trump. The Judicial Crisis Network spokesman said, Justice Scalia would be disappointed that his successor has bungled textualism so badly today for the sake of appealing to college campuses and editorial boards. This was not judging, this was legislating, a brute force attack on our constitutional system. I have never been in favor of the court taking on the role of Congress, legislating. But I have an innate, very possible shallow view for some if we're going to have equality in the country, it has to be equality for everyone. Everyone. I might not care for your sexual preference, but I should not be able to deny you certain rights. Now, there's a two-side blade here. On one hand, we're talking about folks who are employed by someone who felt they were fired, dismissed because of their sexual identity. And then, of course, we have LGBT rights groups going to bakeries, demanding, knowing it's a Christian-owned facility, demanding they bake a cake for a transsexual wedding, gathering, gay wedding, whatever they want to call it. I side with the baker and the businessman being a, or woman being able to say, that's against my religion. I should not be forced to do that. I will side with them. Do you think there's a difference? I think there is. I think there's a difference between a business deciding I'm not going to do that particular job because it's not meeting with my moral standards or beliefs, whatever, religion. Well, how's that different, Larry, than if you are such a company and you are a, quote, Christian-type company and you realize an employee you've hired is transsexual or homosexual? Are you saying they should not be able to fire them now because they hired them? Well, how many times do we actually have a hiring based on gender issue anyway? We've gotten away from, obviously, as we should, male-female discrimination for employment. And when it comes to sexual preference, that's not a question that comes up in hiring. It could be someone you hire is strong heterosexual, member of their church, a deacon of their church, and then over the years they decide to go a different way. And the company decides to fire them because they don't represent what the company wants to stand for, at least the owners and so forth. You have to look at the question, obviously, to the extent, and we've seen it battled out with some groups around the nation, the Lutheran Synod of Missouri being one of them, where sometimes we are a Christian organization. We should not be forced to hire someone who has a religious belief against what we stand for and are no religion whatsoever. We want to hire people that adhere to our philosophy and help us present that to the public. That's an entirely different issue. The decision by Gorsuch shows religious freedom and LGBT rights can coexist. I believe that, and in fact, I found a source that also backed my belief up. Now, you don't have to accept it, but let me share it with you. The writer for this article says that by having the same justice who took an expansive view of religious freedom also rule that lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender Americans also have rights against workplace discrimination, the court sent a clear message that it believes religious freedom and LGBT rights can coexist. And this writer adds, this is an important message in substantive terms, also a timely one, in view of the divisive politics playing out in our streets at this very moment. Gorsuch telling LGBT rights activists the proper way for them to advocate for their position is by asserting their rights as individuals under existing law, not to target the constitutionally protected rights of other people. And this writer adds, politically, Gorsuch is telling America we are big enough and ought to be tolerant enough to live with both ideas at once. That people can express their religious faith as they choose and express their sexual or gender as they choose. The author of those remarks an editor for Breitbart News, strong conservative organization. Joel Pollack, senior editor-at-large at Breitbart News, acknowledging this ruling shows religious freedom and LGBT rights can coexist. Now again, the dissent by Justices Alito, Clarence Thomas, accused the court of legislating. Justice Kavanaugh drew similar conclusions, but he made it in a separate dissent, noting that Congress had already debated the discrimination issue. Pollack points out what I just said a moment ago. This is likely going to affect very few people. Few employers, even those who are religious, care about an employee's private sexual lives. And the decision probably would not apply to religious organizations. Gorsuch specifically addressed that issue. I stress again, we talk about equality in the nation. We cannot have anything that says because of you have a different view, a different color of skin, a different religion, a different sexual preference, that you don't have the same rights. Of course, the bigger question is, was it right for the court to do it, or should it have been the legislature? But as it is, I stand with the court. Please stand by.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This ain't no place for no hero. This ain't no place for no middle man. This ain't no place for no hero to call home.
This ain't no place for no. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So what do you say we talk about conspiracy theories involving Donald Trump and his health? Over the weekend, as President Trump wrapped up his address for the graduates at West Point, he was then walking down a ramp. The ramp, I think I've seen some stats, that it's an 8-degree ramp and was about 30 to 40 feet long. No rail guards going down the ramp. He was walked down, accompanied by the general in charge of West Point, and it was a halting step as he moved down. And, of course, he turned 74 on Sunday, the very next day. And immediately, you've got many saying, oh, look at him, he can't walk, is something wrong? We got serious questions. What's going on? MSNBC host Joy Reid tweeting, serious question. What's going on with him? His supporters have tried so hard to get the media to question Joe Biden's mental and physical fitness, but they so often engage in projection it seems worth inquiring. Do you remember Hillary Clinton when she was leaving the 9/11 event in 2016? She'd been outside for a while. Hillary's now 72, so deduct 4 years, you do the ciphering. I come up with 68, something like that. But as she's walking to the van, surrounded by Secret Service agents, she literally collapses on camera. I mean, her knees buckle. If the agents had not been there, they wouldn't have been able to hold her up. And, of course, there were questions about her health. And the conservative media was dissed and charged with trying to make something out of nothing as they began to circulate that footage. The mainstream media trying its best to protect Hillary. It was just nothing, a little misstep. And an hour later, she had spent some time at her daughter's house, came out smiling, and everything seemed to be fine. So now with President Trump going down this ramp, slowly, They're saying, oh, might be something bad here, and they are trying to make some hay out of it, as did conservative media with Hillary back in 2016. We have put a combination of, we put the Hillary walk and her stumble together with Donald Trump's walk going down the ramp. Quentin has just put it together. The Q Man has it ready on Facebook. After this program, you can see it. Make your own judgments. We let some of the narrative from the CNN reporter go describing the Hillary event because they did have to cover it to some extent. They didn't want to, but they did. Trump's response is, the ramp I descended was very long and steep, had no handrail, most importantly, very slippery. The last thing I was going to do is fall for the fake news to have fun with. Final 10 feet, I ran to ground level. Momentum. Well, somebody decided to fact check it and said, there's no evidence the ramp was slippery. The skies were clear. So be it. But I will tell you this. Very few of us want to go down a ramp at a high speed, especially if there's no rail. Now, if you are 20 years old, you might think, I can do it. But you get a little bit older, you're going to be careful. Why not? We'll take a break, come back with the interview, Trump and Don, and Michael Savage.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
One of our fellow hosts on Freedom KXEN Radio is Michael Savage. Well, he got an interview with President Trump, and he began by pointing out a recent article by Politico. Politico is quoting some GOP officials as saying, we are thinking landslide when it comes to re-election. Yes, there are numerous poll numbers that show he's behind anywhere and everywhere. But interviews with more than 50 state, district, county Republican Party chairs say this is no worse for Trump than 6 months ago, and possibly even slightly better. And according to this view, this is again written by Politico, coronavirus is on its way out, the economy is coming back. Today's numbers prove that. Polls are unreliable. That's also known. Joe Biden is too frail to last. That's an opinion, may or may not be it. And then adds, and the media still doesn't get it. Now that I do agree with. The media, the mainstream media, not going to look for anything that might lift Donald Trump and add support for him and encourage his voters. The GOP chairman in Robeson County, North Carolina, one of several rural counties in that swing state that shifted from supporting Obama in 2012 to Trump in 2016, says this, the more bad things happen in this country, it just solidifies support for Trump. And he said, this year, we're calling him Teflon Trump, nothing's going to stick, because if anything, it's getting more exciting than it was in 2016, so we are thinking landslide. Michael Savage posed that question to President Trump about the prediction that maybe a landslide?
Well, I feel that it's very interesting. I saw that, and I'm honored by that. And I guess Michael Moore said the same thing, or Michael Moore made a statement that he won, he's going to win again, you know. Well, if I don't win, the country's going to be in big trouble, because I see what's going on with the party, whether it's Seattle or these marches or the rioting and the looting, all of the things. This country would be in such trouble. I will say this. I've never seen spirit, not even last time, not even in 2016, because then they didn't really know. They didn't know exactly, you know, I didn't do it yet politically. And now I've done it with the tax cuts, the regulation cuts, the rebuilding of the military, Space Force, all of the things that we've done. And they said, I've never seen such spirit. We went up to Maine last week, And I won half of Maine. It's actually two votes. But I won half of Maine and last time. I have never seen the crowds were from the plane to the plant that we opened up. We opened up a beautiful plant for swabs. And I went, and you had to see the crowds. It was like the landing of a great hero in on Broadway in the old days.
And I know that remark, landing of a great hero, probably just absolutely PO'd the mainstream media. Oh, there he is, comparing himself to a hero for a ticker tape parade down New York. You know what he does, and I've told you repeatedly, I'm almost sure he does this with full knowledge. A little rope-a-dope with the mainstream media, kind of throw something out there. He knows they will pounce on it like hungry hounds after a piece of red meat. And he's just playing them, and they play predictably every single time. And you look at what's happening in the nation right now, stocks are soaring right now as Trump's looking at a $1 trillion infrastructure plan. And as we pointed out earlier, retail sales going up. The chairman of the Republican Party in Minnesota's 8th Congressional District says he has friends who tell pollsters just exactly the opposite of what they feel. So, we know that the polls 4 years ago failed to predict the outcome. The acting chairman of the local Republican Party in Sarasota County, Florida, said, I used to be an avid poll watcher until 2016. And guess what? I'm not watching polls. So there are a lot of folks that think he might well have a landslide, but the polls are not going to show, they continue to show he's in deep trouble. I agree with the remarks I just read you. The more bad things that are thrown at this president and happen in this nation, the better it works for him. We do have the issues that are police reform is needed. The president says they're going to push forward with police reform. But when it comes to defunding police, here's his remark to Michael Savage.
The vast, vast majority of these people are extraordinary people, and they can do 1,000 good acts and one bad one, and the one that is played, you know, because that's the way it is, and that's the way life is, actually. I'm not blaming anybody, but the one that's played is the bad act, and then everybody sort of brushes the entire force as being that way, and it's not that way. The police, the law enforcement have done an incredible job. You know, we had a record number this year in terms of crime being down, a record. We had a phenomenal year in terms of crime. And frankly, if we did the job, if the police were allowed to do their job in a place like Chicago, you take a look at what's going on in Chicago. If they were allowed to do the job, they'd solve that problem very quickly and very easily. But they're prohibited from doing their job. No, but we want, I think you said it so beautifully, we want a lot of money for our police. They've got to do their job. They have to be great trained. If there's a bad one in there, you got to get him or her out fast. But they have to be able to do their job, and they can't be looking over their shoulder, Michael, and that's what you mean.
Terrible.
That's exactly right. They cannot be looking over their shoulder every time. It is so easy for us to sit in our nice homes or your office or wherever you are, and then you see one of these events play out on the street, and some rush to condemn the cop before they get all the facts. This shooting the other day in Atlanta Raymond Bouchard. That's not the right name. Let me get it here from me. Richard Brooks. I'm sorry. I was got lost with some other copy. Richard Brooks. I said the other day, that's not going to be as easy to prove as a case as they were trying to make with George Floyd in Minneapolis because of the combative nature that went down. The other issue that Michael Savage brought up is the fear of voter fraud this time around.
Well, we're suing and we're filing another big lawsuit, I think, on Friday. And I think we have a good case. Newsom announced that he's sending out millions and millions of mail-in, what's called mail-in ballots. And you know, you say, who are they sending these to? And maybe who aren't? Let's say you take a Republican district and maybe those ballots don't get sent there, okay? This is the craziest thing. This will be a rigged election if they're allowed to do it. We're like crazy. If you take a look, you know, we've won the last four elections. We won in Wisconsin. We won in North Carolina. We won two. You know that? Big one. We won a very big one in California, first time in 22 years. But we're fighting mail-in ballots. And in those cases, they had a lot of mail-in ballots, which is incredible. But the chance of theft, where they steal them, they hold up mailmen, they take them out of mailboxes, they print them fraudulently. And I'll just tell you this one story, because it happened over the weekend. The person I know very well, a friend of mine, his son passed away 7 years ago. Beautiful, great son, and he's a great gentleman. And he said, sir, you're right about mail-in ballots. We just received a ballot in the name of my son, and he died 7 years ago.
Oh, boy.
And this is going to happen. And that, let's say, was a legitimate mistake. But these mistakes are made by the millions.
They are. And how many of them end up going into a box to be counted? One other question about President Trump and rebuilding the economy, because he says we are slowly getting ahead of COVID. Let's take that final issue.
I built the greatest economy during my administration in the history of the world. We never had better numbers. Job numbers for African American, Asian American, Hispanic American. And now, all of a sudden, we had to turn it off. We did the right thing. We saved millions of lives. And now we turn it back on. Somebody like Cuomo may be doing that for political reasons, because the comeback would not be as great. But it's going to be a great comeback regardless.
President Trump, everything that you do seems to be an uphill battle with the left, and sometimes even your own party is against you. In a general way, did you expect this much resistance when you were first planning on becoming president?
No. First of all, I thought success. I knew I was going to be successful. And no president's ever done what I've done in the first 3.5 years.
Absolutely correct. Again, that's the interview Michael Savage had with President Trump. I want to thank our chief engineer here, Joe Garcia, for bringing that to my attention. I had not had a chance to hear it, and now I got a chance to share it with you. As I said, Michael Savage is part of the lineup we have at Freedom KXEN. And a couple of the final points. Trump winning in 2016, and now possibly a landslide this time around, or maybe not, we'll end up seeing. But what we are also seeing is that the very things that some say have cost him women and independent voters, according to the polls, his blunt instincts are also the things that give him more support. More support. Frustrating for those who say, you attack him, he's going to fire back with double barrel, and everybody says, that's right, give it to him. We'll take a break, and of course, what are we going to do? Continue tearing down our history. Oh, and the Ford Bronco, new Ford Bronco coming out, that might be an issue. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse out of
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Dateline, Albuquerque, New Mexico. There is a sculpture outside one of the museums, a monument that features a Spanish conquistador. And many say it should be come down. It should come down. It's a reminder of some bad, bad things that happened during that time. Well, in the process, the shooting took place as protesters were clashing with the New Mexico Civil Guard. That's a heavily armed civilian group attempting to protect the sculpture. Protesters already wrapped a chain around the statue, started tugging it, chanting, "Tear it down!" At least one person swinging a pickaxe. This is New Mexico's 16th century colonial governor. And then there were gunshots, five or more. Police had to come in, put it to an end, to protect officers and detain those involved in the shooting. They did take five or six men dressed in military fatigues into custody, supposedly a vigilante-type group that decided it was going to protect the statue. Now the city is saying we will be removing the statue until the appropriate civic institutions can determine the next steps in order to limit the public safety risk. Now, if you're not of Mexican descent, Latino descent, maybe you never thought anything about that statue. Well, for those, as we have heard and seen with other statues of the Confederacy, they consider it offensive. It's just another effort to begin to tear things down across the country. In Boston, they have a statue of Abe Lincoln standing over a slave. It is called the Emancipation Memorial Statue. It shows Lincoln towering above a freed slave, kneeling at his feet, shackles on his wrist. Lincoln's hand stretched out over him like, "I'm setting you free from those chains." I think it's a powerful piece of work. But again, we've got many coming forward and saying, no, it's bad. It's a 141-year-old statue that just needs to be taken down, along with all those Confederate generals and so forth across the nation. And of course, don't forget, Columbus is also under attack. A statue of Columbus beheaded last week in Boston's North End neighborhood. Camden, New Jersey, in the process of removing a statue of Columbus, as the city announced it will establish a plan to re-examine these outdated symbols of racial division and injustices. Elsewhere across the nation, numerous Columbus statues, Christopher Columbus statues, have been torn down, drenched in paint, defaced in various ways. Another part of our history. I am going to ask a question, and I don't have the answer right now, and I'll ask it now, and I'll ask it again in a minute. When and where is all this going to stop? At what point does someone get offended by something else? And look how it's being played out now, particularly against Donald Trump. He was going to have the rally in Tulsa, June 19th. Now, that's the date the slaves learned they were freed. And everybody said he's just holding that on that date to just dog whistle again to white supremacists. It was never intended to be that. And to his credit, which he's not getting credit for it, but the president said, let's move it back a day, move it back to the 20th, no big deal. It was never intended to do anything but schedule a date. And then, of course, when it comes to the Republican convention, now to be held in Jacksonville, Florida, the acceptance speech is already laid out to happen on the 27th of August. And already we've got many coming forward. How dare he do that on the 27th of August? That marks the date of the Axe attacks in Jacksonville, Florida, where numerous blacks were attacked. You have, as Dr. Ben Carson said the other day, folks looking for anything to label as nefarious and look for a reason to destroy it. So, how about this issue? The 2021 Ford Bronco is set to come out July 9, July 9th. Is that going to interfere with someone, somebody? Is some... Well, it happens to be July 9th, and you remember the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase, right? July 9th is also O.J.'s birthday. Well, now, is this an offense to O.J. or what? I mean, I'm lost trying to interpret. I really do. I don't know how you're going to interpret and where it's going to go. Should Ford delay it, not July 9th? Not on O.J.'s birthday. Is that good, bad, indifferent? I asked the question a moment ago. Where and when is this going to stop? You know what many have already said is offensive to them? The U.S. flag. Now, I'm not even talking about whether you choose to stand and salute it or kneel. I'm not even talking about that. But those who say it's offensive, get rid of it. Get rid of the U.S. flag. We don't need that stinking flag no more, some would say. If we give the inch, they're going to take every step they can, believe me. At some point, you've got to say, just take things in the context of history and beyond what you're trying to identify. Next hour coming up. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.